Hey, this is Ryan Tucker, and we want to thank you for listening to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. In this podcast, we get to dive into Pastor Stephen's weekly sermons right here at Highland Park Baptist Church. We would ask you to rate, like, subscribe, and comment. And again, we are honored and thankful that you have chosen to listen to the Unchangeable Truth. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. My name is Ryan Tucker. This is Stephen Kyle right here next to me, and we want to thank you for watching and listening all the time, for those of you that do it. Anyway, we're glad that you listen, glad that you watch. Welcome. How you doing, Pastor Stephen? Doing good?
I'm good. How about you, my man?
Good. It's Monday.
Right.
Getting into the holiday season.
I've been hanging around you too long. I'm wearing sneakers.
You know, and sometimes... sometimes it's okay to step up your cool factor a little bit.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess I have a friend that likes to buy me these sneakers.
Yep.
And I'm just...
and honestly, I like those. I won't buy them because you have them.
Now, that's sad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't want...
what size you wear?
I wear a 10.
Yeah, these...
but see, like, those are, what, 11s?
Yeah, 11 these are 11s. They're a little too shiny.
Well, they are shiny, but I like them. They look clean. But I don't want people to think I'm trying to copy you.
Well, you know, I guess you could.
If you're going to talk about them, you got to hold them up so they can see them.
I'm sorry, they can't see them. Look at there. I got them on camera right there. I'm sorry.
Right there. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody's flipping through the TV, and they just come up, and we're holding our shoes up.
Hey, speaking of flipping through the TV, you were telling me about...
yeah.
You need to do a shout-out.
Yeah.
So we don't want to forget.
Pretty big shout-out. The... goodness, what night was this? Thursday night?
Yeah.
Thursday night, my wife and I, we're over in Destin and trying to do some Christmas shopping and some stuff like that. And there's a store that I like. I just always thought it was cool, the little alligator, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and when I was growing up, my parents never could afford to buy me anything right. like that. So I guess I'm a label kid. But I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, man, what time does Lacoste close? And Jennifer's like, oh, like 10 minutes. And I said, tell you what, let's just go over there. I'll run in to see if there's anything I like. And if there is, then tomorrow we can come back and get it. They have sweaters that I like. And anyway, so I go, and clearly they're closing up the store. They're trying to get everything ready, and they're going to... anyway, I walk in, and hey, is it...
and you were that guy that walked in.
I was
in
that
right
guy. Yeah. I'm like, hey, is it okay if I just, I don't want, can I got to just look around for just about 5 minutes? She goes, yeah, take your time. As long as you want to, don't worry. It'll be fine. You know, you got in here before we locked the doors. And I said, well, I won't take up your time. I said, can I tell my wife to come in? She goes, sure, yeah. And so I waved Jennifer in, and we're in there, we're looking around, and, you know, the woman, can I help you? And I'm like, well, you know, these sweaters, and need it in this, because they're European sizes, you know, I need this. And she said, do you work for a church? I mean, you... I said, I do. She goes, are you on TV? And I said, I am. She goes, I watch you just about every week.
Yeah.
I love it. She goes, I watch the morning, and then I stay up and I watch the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I said, really? She goes, yes, yes, I love it. She goes, thank you, guys. She goes, what I love about it is y'all just talk about what the Bible
That's
says.
Right.
And she goes, I just really appreciate that. And she goes, man, it's so good to meet you. So I told her, I said, well, I'm gonna give you a shout out.
Yeah.
Alicia at Lacoste.
And so, all the way in Destin, Journey.
Yeah, our Unchangeable.
Look at that.
Our Unchangeable.
We're moving outside the county.
If you go east, you go all the way around the world before you get to Destin.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's pretty cool thought there, Journey. All of our Unchangeable Truth listeners, man, go on over there to Lacoste and tell Alicia that Unchangeable Truth sent you over there.
That's
right. We're not going to get anything out of it, but that was kind of cool. She helped us out, and we got some sweaters, and so just a special thank you to her. So, man, that's
really
kind of
cool.
Neat. She said, I thought it was kind of you. I had a ball cap on and everything. I thought it was kind of you. You know, she was, but when I heard you talking to your wife and I heard that voice, she said, I knew that that's him.
She probably likes that other bearded guy though, too.
Maybe thank she never you, mentioned Lisa. You, but,
that's right. I'm just here.
Probably so.
Just part of the yeah. program. Yeah, it's part of the environment.
Yeah. It's neat when we,
oh yeah.
When we get to run into some folks, that the Lord allows us to be able to speak into their life. So,
so you got to spend some time in Destin with the wife.
Did it's a trip we try to do every right before Christmas. We used to try to do it the first of Christmas, and we'd go over for those who don't live in the panhandle of Florida. Yeah. Destin has many different outlets, and so we'd go over there. And Jennifer and I both have December birthdays. And so we would also celebrate birthdays and stay over there a couple of days and do shopping. And this is the first time we've been able to do it in, goodness, like 4 years, because we were on the road back and forth to Mayo over in Jacksonville for her cancer treatment. So, it was good to go over and kind of get away and do some shopping. And anyway, I ended up getting a lot. Man, I'm an old man. When I find something I like, I buy it in every color.
Well, you are a few days away from being in that 4Runner group.
That's true. Yeah. So, 55.
I wouldn't say that's old, though, man.
Well, those
you wear it well.
Well, yeah, I appreciate it. I don't feel like I wear it well. There's a particular shoe that I like to wear, and I've been wearing for like, goodness, I don't know, 15 years or so. And they're kind of expensive, and so I won't pay full price. I won't pay full price for anything, that except if I'm buying it for somebody else.
Yeah.
To me, it's a game. And anyway, but so I every now and then find one of these pairs of shoes that I like, and I walk into the store. There's an outlet store over there for this particular brand of shoe, and I walk in. I'm like, my goodness, this is 50% off. These shoes are never 50% off. I start looking around. Everything's 50% off. They're closing the location. Yeah. And let's just say I bought 4 pairs of shoes, and I almost bought shoes I already had, because I'm like, well, they're going out of business here. I don't, you know, I want to make sure I can leave these in the box and put them in the top of the closet soon the other ones run out, because I just like the way they fit, and they're like a dressy tennis shoe.
Yeah, it's
I even called you and said, "Hey, man, by the way,
they got some golf shoes.
Got a lady here that loves the program, and they got some great golf shoes that are on sale." You didn't go over there though, did you?
Not yet. We hadn't made it. I did tell my wife that we need to make a trip over there though.
Well, good.
We'll see how that works out.
That's right. Well, if you do, slide on down a few stores and see Alicia there.
I will.
Lacoste.
I will. Yeah. I don't have any Lacoste stuff. Anyway, it'd be good. We should probably stop talking about clothes and talk about scripture.
I think that'd be a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. And
talk about the Bible. That's why we're here.
So Matthew chapter 1:2, chapter 2. And your title is Misplaced Values. And I kind of snuck in the end of the first service. Mm-hmm. Because we were waiting on invitation, and I saw your points, and I'll be honest, like, I was excited to hear the sermon over this, because the way your points worked out, man, just a easy way just to reflect and think about where we are and how we're viewing scripture, how we're viewing Jesus. So super great points, man, as you look at Matthew.
Yeah. And a little different.
Yeah.
Than how I normally, do the expository teaching. I mean, because usually I'm like, I break down the verses that are together. And, okay, this verse says this. Here's what this point means. This verse says this. And so this, I ask a question that it's not necessarily in the text that you have a clear, here's the answer to these questions.
Right.
And so I said, all right, let's look at who these individuals are and, you know, understanding of their values from other scripture. And I don't know, I'm borderline taking a little bit of liberty there. And I try to be careful not to do that. I let the scripture speak for itself. But we know this when it comes to the Bible, that every detail of every situation is not covered there. It can't be. And so, you know, you can sometimes use scripture to illustrate scripture. And so,
well, and there's other verses, especially in the New Testament, in the Gospels, there's other scriptures that kind of go along with this, where people were, these religious leaders were having a face-to-face conversation with Jesus, and they weren't, they missed him. Right?
Exactly.
And so,
I don't, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, you were talking about, you know, the whole 6 mile thing got me.
Well, you don't really think about that right. until, and years ago.
Yeah.
I heard a pastor make that statement about, man, we're talking 6 miles.
Yeah.
And it resonated with mm-hmm. me, because from, and I even, I checked it, right? I Google mapped it. From my office to my front doorstep, 6.1 miles. Mm. And I drive it every day, sometimes multiple times a day. I don't walk it. Could I walk it if I had to? Absolutely, I could. I could walk it. I can tell you this. If I heard Jesus was at my house and I didn't have any other way to get there, I'd take off walking because I wouldn't want to miss him. And in their culture at that time, they walked everywhere they went, so that would have been an easy thing. I wouldn't have thought of another thing about it. And so you have these guys who more than anyone would have understood prophetic scripture, all of the Old Testament prophecy about the coming Messiah and the coming Christ, when he would come, where he would come, all these things. And I guess that's just the one thing that kind of jumped out at me is, why wasn't there at least one that said, hey, let me go see?
Well, and I was going to look up I taught over some of the Gospels several years ago, and I found where it gave, like, these scholars, these religious leaders, what they had to go through in school, and they had, by age, they had to memorize certain stuff. And so I was going to try to find out. I forgot to do it before we came in here, but you're right. Like, these religious leaders had so much head knowledge, factual head knowledge of Jesus.
Well, I would say probably all.
Yeah.
Had to memorize the Torah.
Yes.
The first 5 books of the Old Testament.
Right.
Some would memorize the Psalms. There was a great deal. I mean, their entire daily existence, the scribes, was nothing except scripture.
Yeah.
That was it. And they so revered the scripture and, in their mind, revered God by revering the scripture. What went wrong?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this should have been a slam dunk. If there's any group that wants to go and see the one who's been born, it should have been them.
Yeah.
And yet, for some reason, they missed it. I made the statement, so close yet so far.
Yeah.
I mean, what do they say, that close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades?
Horseshoes and hand grenades. I have heard that statement.
Yeah. Yeah, close doesn't count when it comes to salvation.
Yeah.
A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I'll say this. You know, there are folks that you start seeing a progression of the Holy Spirit bringing conviction in their life and just their desire and willingness to an opening there to the gospel, right? And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But again, until you do respond to the gospel, you're still lost. There is no in between. You've received the gospel, you've surrendered to Jesus, or you've not.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And so I start laying out this idea of understanding who we're talking about when it comes to religious leaders and Pharisees and just everybody else involved, and why.
Yeah.
What would have kept at least one from going to check this out?
And your first point, you know, is they valued knowledge over the truth. And I that's so relevant today. Like, even in current 2025 church culture, you know, the conversations that we have with people, just even people that are trying to debate within the church. Like you see this, you see the value over their own knowledge versus what is the truth of Scripture. And
the theology that we spend time and energy on, ultimately, it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
You know, what is the ultimate truth? Salvation comes through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. It's funny that everybody, it's almost like, you know, I'm gonna find my little theology hill and I'm gonna die on that. Yeah. And this is what, you know, I'm gonna get everybody to change their mind when it comes to this or when it comes to that. And I decided years ago, that's not gonna be me.
Yeah.
Now, when I was younger in ministry, you know, when you're young, you think you've got the answers to everything. And, you know, eventually you come to the age where you're like, I don't have all the answers. I don't even know all the questions.
Right.
At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You know, I make this statement all the time, and it's caused me a little bit of grief in the pastor world. But, you know, I'll take a hot button topic and I'll sit there, and I know how I feel about it.
Right.
But I'll say, you know, people in hell aren't debating that.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be, you know, I don't know if this is as strong anymore, but let's say 10 years ago, or I mean, Calvinism. Everybody wanted to talk about some were created for damnation, some were created for glory. And, you know, I've been enlightened in Calvinism, and, you know, I would debate that and argue that. And then I'm like, you know, I'm not going to let that eat up my energy or my time anymore. And I've made the statement, people in hell aren't debating Calvinism.
Right.
And then another hot button topic, women pastors. I know how I feel about that. Mm-hmm. I know my interpretation of the Scripture, and, you know, we don't ordain women to ministry here. We believe that, the Scripture teaches, you know, men are to lead in the home and in the church, and I'm sure we'll get some feedback on that, but I made the statement, hey, at the end of the day, people in hell aren't debating women pastors.
Yeah.
You know, I celebrate the fact that no matter what gender you are, if you're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, boy, that's a win.
That is.
That's a win for all eternity. So, yeah, the knowledge thing. And knowledge and wisdom are different.
Yeah.
Knowledge can puff you up.
Yeah.
Wisdom is realizing, I even though I have knowledge, I'm not to use it to elevate myself.
Yeah.
And boy, people can get really puffed up when it comes to spiritual and biblical ideas. And, you know, I used a text in there that I've read before, but I've really never focus too much on it, where Paul's writing to Timothy there, and Paul's giving Timothy all these, hey, don't forget this, don't forget that. Remember, people are going to come against you. You're young and all this kind of stuff. Don't forget the faith that your mama taught you, you know, and he sits here and he talks about, hey, listen, man, there's just some folks, they're going to be focused on things that really don't matter.
Yeah.
I don't even remember the...
It's to Second Timothy 3:7.
Second Timothy 3:7, yeah. This is weird. I mean, I go through like three pages before I even get to my outline there. But always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy 3:7. There are some folks, and you can even take this over into the realm of those who don't even know Christ. There are some folks that sit there and think they have figured out the way the world exists, and because of their intelligence, there cannot be a God.
Mm.
I think I've talked about this before. I'll never forget years ago. I mean, I don't know, 10 years ago or something like this, when Jesse the Body Ventura, the wrestler. You remember him, Journey?
I do.
Yeah, that's what I know. You probably had a poster of him. Yeah, he was one of your heroes.
he still does.
Journey's
in his garage.
Well, Journey's a big wrestler. You know, he wrestled and taught wrestling, and his son was in wrestling.
You're gonna give away his secret. Not wrestling, wrestling.
Wrestling, yeah, not wrestling. I did try to get his son. I'm like, look, if you ever get in it, I mean, I'm telling you, the best thing to do is that sleeper hold. he's like, I don't think they'd let me do that. But he made the statement. This is when he was... What was he, the governor of Minnesota or something like that? And he said, Christianity is a crutch for the weak-minded.
Yeah.
And yet you look at, goodness, C.S. Lewis, Lee Strobel that we had here, Josh McDowell.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the greatest thinkers in history are followers of Christ.
Yeah.
To me, it takes more faith not to believe what the Bible says than it does to believe what the Bible says. But yeah, man, I don't know what it is about this. Oh man, just look at me. Look at all that I know. And it's automatically, I'm right, you're wrong, all the way across. And it makes us prideful. And we know pride's just not good for anybody. It's that nasty little five-letter word, right? Yeah. It is the opposite of humility.
Yeah.
Give me a humble heart. But I would say that's one of the reasons why at least one of them didn't say, hey guys, y'all can hang here, keep studying the Old Testament law. I'm gonna go on over there and just see what's happening with this. I'll do some investigating.
And that kind of goes into your second point where you talk about how they valued religion over truth. And again, that's just one of those things that we still see today. And you made this statement, kind of a bold statement. You said that, you know, religion may sometimes deaden your faith. I think that's what you said.
Well, deadens your heart.
Yeah, your heart
and your mind. Yeah.
And, you know, I've never thought of it that way. But going back to the knowledge one, like if you're so puffed up on your knowledge, so puffed up on the religion, that's a really strong statement that, you know, it deadens the heart and mind because you're so focused on the game of religion, the game of knowledge, rather than the heart of who Jesus is.
I would say some of these greatest intellectuals that we mentioned earlier, what they did is the more information they had, the more knowledge that they received, the more they realized God is so beyond me.
Yeah.
I can't figure him out. I can't understand it. God is unlimited. We are bound by so many things.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to walk through that wall. I mean, I could say I'm going to walk through that wall and I'm going to hit the wall.
It'd be fun to watch you try.
Yeah, it's not going to go well.
We can make that. We can make that a short on YouTube.
Sure. Journey. Yeah. I mean, I can't go back into yesterday.
Yeah.
And I can't go into tomorrow. I'm bound by time. There's so many limitations that we have because we are living in a finite existence, and yet God has no boundaries at all. God is infinite.
Mm.
There's nothing that can keep him back. I mean, just that aspect within itself, we cannot comprehend. It's the equivalent of, I think we talked about this last week or the week before, it's the equivalent of an ant looking at a human being trying to figure out what a human being is doing. You'll never be able to understand that. And so, religion comes along, and religion is man's attempt to work his way to God, to figure out God. And religion, I just don't like the word religion. I don't like religious. You know, there are folks who are like, well, you know, I'm not very religious, talking about them when they're talking to me. And I'm like, that's awesome. I'm not either.
Me either. Yeah.
I hate religion. What? Yeah. What? For real? You know, and they don't understand the word and the meaning and the context. But religion, I mean, there are some good, we would define it, religious things.
Right.
I'd probably find a better word than religion. I call it spiritual, but religion within itself, it does. It deadens the mind. Oh, wait, no. I've already got it figured out.
Yeah.
It's me doing these deeds.
Yeah. And we've talked about on this podcast several times that religion doesn't save us, right? Like it there's some good things in it, but religion ultimately doesn't save. Knowledge doesn't save. And
I'm going to say religion is the highest form of wickedness because religion promises something that even evil doesn't promise. Religion promises you can get your way to God. Just follow these particular rules.
Yeah.
And I wonder how many people have been condemned to hell because of their faith in religion.
Wow.
And you know, we all have some religious tenets about us. We do things a certain way. Yeah. We worship a certain style. You know, we worship in a certain style. We don't worship a certain style. But again, at the end of the day, all those are secondary to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's what have I done with Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
I promise you, nobody's going to stand before Jesus one day and he's going to say, "Oh, hey, talk to me. You know, what denomination were you?
Right, right.
Yeah. What translation Bible did you use?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, how often did you take the Lord's Supper? It's going to be what have you done with Christ? Have you received His forgiveness?
When I was, you talking about early on, you know, starting a ministry when you're young, you think you know a lot of stuff. Like, I remember one of the first few actual sermons, or one of the first couple of times I was actually in front of, you know, multiple people teaching. I said the quote, the statement. I don't even know where I got it. I got it from, I don't know. But I said, you know, when we focus on religion, we forget about the relationship. And I thought whenever I was younger, like I had figured something out when I when I said that. I'm like, man, I'm going to be such a great speaker. Like, look at me coming up with this thing. But, you know, it's not new. It's not something that's brand new. It's not, but man, when we focus on the religion, we focus on the knowledge, we tend to forget about the relationship with Jesus.
Sure. And while it's nothing new, I think it's something that needs to be said over and over again. We need to be reminded because, again, we all tend to kind of lean towards that selfishness.
Yeah.
And we want to exalt self, and we're like, oh, yeah, salvation, Jesus and me.
Yeah.
Whole lot of Jesus, little bit of me. Well, no. It's a whole lot of Jesus or nothing. That's it.
Yeah.
Whole lot of Jesus.
Well, and you closed it. So your third point was they valued culture over the truth. And, you know, we kind of talked some about that. But one of the, in the minute that we have left, you know, you talked about this prayer, you know, about getting our heart right. And you heard somebody say, you know, hey, you know, make my heart a manger. So I'll let you kind of close out with that one little statement there.
Yeah, it's a story that I read in a book, I don't know, years ago, and because I know I speak so much, whenever I read something, I'm like, oh, man, that's good. That'd resonate with people. You used to be I'd cut it out or, you know, whatever. Now I'll take pictures and download it to my computer or whatever and stick it over in a file. But it's a story about Rose Kennedy, John F. Kennedy's mother, and basically the whole thing of praying and saying, even though she was deeply religious, she'd never opened her heart up to receive Christ. And her prayer was, make my heart a manger. What was the manger? It's where Jesus was born. He wasn't welcomed in the inn. And so the manger was that receiving point. Come into the world. Make my heart like that manger, and Jesus come to live inside of me.
Yeah.
And we had some folks that made that decision Sunday. I mean, we'll talk more. We don't have time about it to talk about it today, but a great story about a young man who prayed that very prayer, and I mean, God saved him yesterday.
Something was different.
Something was different, as he said.
Well, man, as always, thank you for pointing us to Jesus and the truth of Scripture. Even in the holiday season, always point us to Jesus, and we appreciate it. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening right here on the Unchangeable Truth Podcast.
This is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Unchangeable Truth. We would always love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, so feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@highlandpark.org. That's HILANDPARK.org. The purpose of this broadcast is to help you fall more in love with Jesus Christ and your faith to grow as you consistently find yourself in the Word of God. If you ever find yourself in Panama City, please feel free to stop by and worship with us in person at 2611 Highway 231 North. May God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again.